If also you'd like to take your blue bulletin and turn to the inner fold, there's some verses there that we'll be using as we move through the message today. But if you'd like to just sit and listen, you're welcome to do that too. Well, we've had a jungle theme all week, Jungle Secrets, and the title of this morning's message is Jungle Doctor. Let's ask God's help. Dear Father, as we come to your word today, we pray that you would open this out to us. I pray that your word would be in no way a mystery or difficult, but I pray that it be plain and clear, made clear by your Spirit to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That great fountain of truth, Wikipedia, says of Dr. Paul White. White was born in Bowral, New South Wales. After studying medicine at the University of Sydney, he married Mary Bellingham and they travelled to what is now Tanzania as Anglican medical missionaries. White was there only 2 years when, because of Mary's health, they had to return to Australia. It was that return that got Paul White started on writing books. And he wrote 50 books until he died in 1992. That's probably more books than most of us have read, let alone written. It's Paul White's Jungle Doctor fables, amongst other things, that the children have been hearing during the week. One that they heard was the antelope that wanted to become a lion. Enda the antelope wanted to become a lion, so she asked Toto the monkey how she might do that. Toto, in his monkey wisdom, said to become a lion, Enda the antelope needed to go where lions go, say what lions say, do what lions do and eat what lions eat. Enda the antelope practiced and practiced till she was ready with an awesome roar. But unfortunately, she was unable to convince Boohoo the hippopotamus that she was now a lion. This made Enda very sad. What could be wrong? She asked Toto the monkey, and after much thought, Toto decided that Enda must hang a sign around her neck which said L-I-O-N, lion. So off Enda went to join the other lions. Enda realized too late that going where lions go, doing what lions do, saying what lions say and eating what lions eat does not make you a lion, and she became a lion's lunch. Paul White's fables are really stories to explain Bible truth. One certainly doesn't become a Christian by going where Christians go. Just being in a church certainly doesn't make you a Christian. You don't become a Christian by saying what Christians say. Just talking about God and Jesus Christ doesn't make you a Christian. The cults do that. And doing what Christians do doesn't make you a Christian either. All religions have moral standards and things that you must do according to that religion. So Enda the antelope illustrates that you don't become a Christian by acting like a Christian. Therefore, we may well ask, well, what does make you a Christian? What is a Christian? The Bible, and indeed many of the Jungle Doctor fables, explains what a Christian is. Let me suggest to you from the Bible three marks of a Christian. The first mark of a Christian described by the Bible is a Christian is a person who realizes that they are a sinner. They're a person who realizes that they're a sinner. The Buddhist Eightfold Path does not require that you admit that you're a sinner. It talks about the right way and right thinking, right wisdom and so forth, but it does not require us to admit that we're a sinner. The Muslim creed, there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. That's all you need to say to become a Muslim. That does not require any admission of sin. Judaism is one other religion that sees a problem because of sin. Once you have the law of Moses, including the Ten Commandments and much more, you soon begin to realize that you can't keep the Ten Commandments. For example, God's law required, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So if I don't believe that there is a God, as I did at one stage in my life, there's no way that you're going to love him and you fail in God's commandments. And anyway, if my love is slightly imperfect, I still fail. When you buy a car, It has a perfect windscreen. For the first time a stone gets flung up from the road and it chips that windscreen and perhaps there's a small crack, it is now a broken windscreen. Maybe it's not as broken as it could be, maybe it's not totally shattered, but it is now broken. It's exactly the same with God's law. James chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." So if we don't love God, we've broken the whole law of God right at the start. And anyway, who of us can say we've never told a lie? And yet God's law says in Exodus 20 and verse 16, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Who of us has never picked up a pen that is not our own? And yet God's law says in 20 and verse 15, "You shall not steal." Who of us has never spoken back to parents? And yet Exodus 20 and verse 12 says, "Honor your father and your mother." Who of us has never murdered someone with our words? And yet Exodus 20 and verse 13 says, "You shall not murder." Which man has never looked on a woman to lust after her? And yet Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 28, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." A Christian is a person, therefore, who agrees with God's diagnosis of man, which is summarized in Romans 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." God's standard is like the ceiling, and even the best of us are only a few centimeters from the floor. We've all fallen short of God's standard. It's like trying to swim to New Zealand. Some of us are get a little bit further than others, but none of us are going to make it. Even that guy that tried to paddle solo to New Zealand in a kayak got within an hour of the coast and drowned. No, we cannot reach God's standard of perfection. The Bible nails us exactly where we are, saying in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. There is none who does good, no, not one." Further, as confessed sinners, we realize we have a problem of sin. We now realize that we have a problem with a holy God. The great prophet Isaiah explains in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, "But your iniquities," that is your sin, "have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." We have not wanted God to tell us what to do. Each one of us wants to live our own life, our own way, and we don't want to listen. This is the essence of sin. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 explains, "Or we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." We have wandered from God, and now there is a dreadful barrier between us and God, our sin. Jungle Doctor illustrated these sad truths with two stories that the children heard during the week: Famous Last Words and The Great Wall. In Famous Last Words, Twigger the giraffe is teaching Toto the monkey. Twigger says, "Follow the laws of the jungle and you will be safe. Disobey the laws of the jungle and you are in trouble." But Toto the monkey doesn't want to listen, and in the story almost ends up as a python's lunch. Toto learns it doesn't pay to disobey. We also have disobeyed the laws of the jungle, and we also may end up as a python's lunch. In The Great Wall, the jungle animals wake up one morning to find that there is a great wall between them and the best of the grass, the best of the water, in fact, the best of everything in life. Rhino tried to break through the wall by running at it hard, but he could not. Hyena tried to find a way right round the wall, but he could not. Snake tried to find a way under the wall, but he could not either. Toto the monkey tried to find a way up over the wall, but it was too slippery near the top and he couldn't either. Twigger the giraffe observed that the wall was a terrible barrier between us and the good things. The wall was no joy to those that lived in the jungle. They were not on the side that meant real life. That wall, of course, in the story represents our sin. Our sin has separated us from God. And there is no human solution to the problem of sin. No way through, no way under, no way round. Jesus was talking about sin when he said in Matthew 5 and verse 4, "Blessed are those who mourn." He means mourning about sin. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." In other words, God's blessings come to those that are who mourn over sin, who are sorry for their sin. Christians are people who know that they are sinners and they are sorry for it. The second mark of a Christian is a person who has turned from their sin to the living God. Mourning over sin, we don't want to sin anymore. The Christian turns away from their sin and they turn to God. Oh, the Bible is a living book. Though Isaiah spoke more than 2,500 years ago, he speaks to us today when he says in Isaiah 55 and verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Turn from sin and to God, says Isaiah, and God will forgive your sin. Indeed, the New Testament agrees, saying in 1 John 1 and verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If we will only turn, as Isaiah says, if we will only confess, as the New Testament says, that simple act of confession, of repentance, of turning away from sin and turning to God is played over and over again in every individual who truly comes to Jesus Christ. When the Christian message spread from Jerusalem around the edge of the Mediterranean to the land of Greece and to a town by the name of Thessalonica, Paul remembers what happens. He wrote to the Thessalonian people saying in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, "What manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." They turned from worshipping statues to worshipping the true God. We don't worship statues. We're too sophisticated in the 21st century for that. But we still have idols. Entertainers and sports stars are rightly called idols, and their fans idolize them. And those phrases are used because those people take the place of what God should have in our hearts. Anything that takes God's place in our heart is an idol. For some, that idol is money. From such things, we are to turn away and we are to turn to God. The Bible calls that act of turning from sin to God repentance. Repentance is illustrated by two Jungle Doctor fables. Both of these the children again saw during the week. Firstly, Out on a Limb, and then secondly, Now is the Time. In Out on a Limb, Toto the monkey decides to take revenge on Uncle Nyani by cutting off Uncle Nyani's favorite branch from their buyu tree. Now, Uncle Nyani's favorite branch was right over the top of a very deep ravine, so once that branch was cut off, it was going to be gone for good. As Toto chopped off the branch, he stood on the wrong side of the cut. Monkey wisdom prevented Toto seeing the problem, but Suku the parrot and Twigger the giraffe repeatedly warned Toto. Hyena and Vulture were there at the bottom of the ravine. They could also see the problem, and they were waiting for their lunch to arrive at the bottom. Twigger warned, "Can't you see the awful risk in doing what you're doing? Change your mind. Change over to the safe side. Toto, change your thinking quickly. Change your mind quickly. Change your direction." And over, Twigger warned Toto. Toto saw his danger too late, and he did become a hyena's lunch. Repentance is a change of mind in regard to sin. I don't like that sin anymore. I want to turn from it, and I want to turn to God. It's a change in mind that leads to a change in life. Actually, the need of repentance is urgent, as illustrated by the Jungle Dr. Faber, Now is the Time. In that story, a terrible fire starts in the jungle. The animals start running for the safety of the great rock. Toto anxiously looks for his cousin Sticky, but is unable to find Sticky anywhere. Not far from the great rock, Toto finds Sticky and tries to convince Sticky to join the other jungle animals running for the safety of the great rock. But Sticky makes excuse after excuse. He says, "I'm not leaving here for anybody. I'm too busy. I'm not going yet. Go away. Not until I've finished my honey. I'm happy as I am. I can look after myself. Go away. I'll go when I'm ready. Not yet. Anyway, there's plenty of time yet." But there was not plenty of time, and Sticky perished in the flames, along with many other jungle animals who had not run to the great rock. The Bible has just one message for us sinners: repent, and repent today. Job, who lived 2,000 years before Christ, 4,000 years ago, said when he saw God in Job 42 and verse 6, "Therefore I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes." Ezekiel, another great prophet of Israel, taught the nation Israel in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 30, "Repent and turn from all your transgressions," that is your sins, "so that iniquity or sin will not be your ruin." John the Baptist, when he was preparing the way for Jesus Christ to come, said in Matthew 3 and verse 2, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And indeed, Jesus Christ himself, when he came, had exactly the same message as all the prophets had had: "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." When the Jews realized they had crucified their own Messiah, the Lord Jesus, Peter preached after that time, basically saying the same thing again: repent. He says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Friends, life is too short. Opportunities in the end are so few. James explains, "You do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that.'" In other words, we ought to reference our lives to God. And Paul proclaims in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Turn from sin and turn to God. That is a mark of a Christian. This is something that we've been showing the children during the week. We want them to know the Savior. And we must do it also today. The third mark of a Christian is a person who has trusted Christ to save them. They've seen their sin, they have turned from their sin to God, and they have trusted Christ to save them. Like Toto, they have run to that great rock for safety. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 it says, "For they," the people of Israel, "drank of that spiritual rock that followed them," the spiritual rock that followed them, "and that rock was Christ." We run to Jesus for our safety. Jesus himself explained in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That is, if we ever want to see God, we must go to the Father through Jesus Christ. If we ever want to see God as Father, we must go through Jesus. If we do not do that, we will one day see Jesus as our judge. Jesus is the way to God. Let me explain that a bit more. First, we must understand who Jesus Christ is. When we sin, we break God's law. And so if we want forgiveness, it is to God we must go. Mark chapter 2, that Jonathan read earlier, carries this historic account of Jesus in the town of Capernaum. Let me read that to you. "And again he entered Capernaum, and after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. And they came to him, bringing a paralytic," that is a quadriplegic man, "who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the quadriplegic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the quadriplegic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you. Some of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Indeed, they were right. Only God can forgive sins. But here is Jesus Christ forgiving sins. So who does that make Jesus Christ to be? The account continues in verse 8, but immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the quadriplegic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? Of course, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven you because no one can tell if the sins are really forgiven or not. If you say to a quadriplegic man, take up your bed and walk, and it doesn't happen, everyone knows pretty fast that you're a phony. Verse 10, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he rose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so they're all amazed, glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Jesus not only claimed to be God by forgiving sin, he proved that he did have the power to forgive sin, and therefore he was indeed God in the flesh. Jesus had to be God to fully represent God to us, and Jesus had to be man to fully represent us before God. Now, Jesus came to show us God. We've seen that already. He was God in the flesh. In John 14 and verse 7, Jesus explains this. He's talking to his disciples. He says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, like both are God. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus came not only to show us the Father, but to solve the problem of sin. It is Christ that breaks down that great wall, that great wall that was talked about in the Jungle Dr. Fables. It is Jesus Christ who penetrates that wall of separation between us and God by his death on the cross. Jesus said of himself in Luke 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This Jesus Christ did by being our substitute. We as sinners deserve death before a holy God. Jesus simply died in our place so that we might not have to die. It's explained in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. It says, for he, that's God, for God made him, Jesus, for God made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He died in our place. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. He took our sins in his body on the tree. However, this is not automatic. Any man or woman, boy or girl can say, I don't believe that rubbish. And they will bear their own sin. But if a person will turn to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I trust that you died in my place, that person will be counted as if they never sinned. Who of us deserves that? And yet that is God's offer to us. Romans 10 and verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10 and verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the Jungle Dr. fable called The Trap, Temba the elephant represents Jesus Christ. Enda the antelope knows that she is safe so long as she stays by Temba's side. However, Enda wanders off and falls into a hunter's trap. This hole in the ground in the story represents a man caught in sin. Psalm 40 and verse 2 says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. This is the pit of sin. Out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. That rock is Christ, and established my steps. Anyway, Ender is there, caught in this trap, and there is no way out. Boohoo, the hippopotamus comes along and discovers Ender down in the hole, and so Boohoo, the hippopotamus, starts to give 10 rules about traps, as if that's going to help anyone already caught in the trap of sin. Toto arrives, and seeing the danger, he goes off to get Tembo. Finally, Tembo comes, and when Tembo's there, Ender asks Tembo, Do you know a way out? Do you know a way? Tembo replies, I am the way. You don't have to hold on to me. I will hold on to you. Trust yourself to me. Don't look back. Keep your eyes on me. And Tembo lifts Ender the antelope out of the hunter's trap. Ender replies, Oh, thank you, Tembo. Thank you, you saved me. Tembo asks, How does it feel to have your feet on firm ground again? Oh, to stand on solid rock is wonderful, Ender says. You come with me. The closer you keep, the safer you'll be. Oh, Tembo, you're the best friend, Ender says, that I've ever had. And that's my story too. Jesus Christ is the best friend I have ever had. With David in Psalm 40, I can tell you, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Like Paul White, I was also a jungle doctor in Africa, West Africa, not the East like Paul White. Like Paul, my time was also cut short. And like Paul White, I also returned to Australia to have a ministry back here. I stand before you today saying nothing else than all the prophets have ever said through the ages. You must repent of sin. You must turn from your sin. And you must turn to God, trusting Christ's death in your place for the forgiveness of that sin. Then you'll be a Christian. You'll find like Paul White did, and like I have, Jesus is the best friend that any man or woman, boy or girl, could ever have. Jesus explained in John 15 and verse 13, Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And Jesus laid down his life for us. Will you trust Jesus Christ as your own Savior from sin? Not from a jungle trap, not being saved from a jungle trap, but being saved from sin. If you'd like to do that, you could pray a prayer something like this. Let me just read through you. The words are not magic, but you would need to be sorry for your sin. You need to turn to God, believe in Christ. So you'd pray something like this. I know that I am not worthy to be called a child of God. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I am guilty of turning my back on you and ignoring you. I need your forgiveness. Do you hear the sorrow for sin in those words? Then you'd pray, I want to turn from living my life my own way. That's repentance. I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again to give me new life. I now acknowledge Jesus as the rightful ruler of my life. Thank you for making me a member of your family. Please help me to love you and serve you always. That's the kind of prayer you would pray to become a Christian. Is that something that you would like to do today? Well, we're going to have a time of prayer. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm just going to give you some space to pray to the Lord for yourself if that's something that you'd like to do right now. Let's just have a time of quiet prayer. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I don't know who has prayed to you right now, but if anyone has opened their heart, turned from their sin and turned to you, I pray that you give them great joy in their hearts. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for making them a child in the family of God, your child, a family of families. I pray that you'd bless each one here. Thank you for the time together. Thank you for the truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, our closing hymn for this morning is really for those who did pray and put their trust in Jesus Christ. Just to confirm what you've already done, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. We'll remain seated to sing. We'll sing all three verses.